Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Flats and Shanks Weekly Podcast. Episode maybe 62.
Done a lot this year, boy.
What? Ever? Oh, this year? Oh, God. Mm.
Well,
62.
This season, I would say. This year. You know, where's your year start?
Yeah,
okay. Is it April till May?
Yeah.
The tax year?
Is it calendar year? Is it school year? Is it the rudgy season?
It's rugby year. I don't even know when it started and ended, mate. Or is it still going? Are we still playing rugby?
I don't know.
Are we breaking off to form a new European competition? I don't know. We are, actually. We've got the Rainbow Cup starting next week.
Apparently, I just clicked on this. Well, before we came on, I clicked on this article that apparently is really good about that European Super League thing in football. And I'm looking, it's in the New York Times. I'm looking forward to reading it and feeling clever because I'm reading something from the New York Times.
Mate, the amount of money they're talking about, they're talking like nearly like 3.5-4 billion extra Christ. Money. Wow. I don't know enough about it yet to comment though, so I just, what I'm going to say is I agree with Gary Neville, whatever he says, okay?
Oh, I love Gary. But one thing that I saw, and this is, I'm going to butcher this now, I'm going to murder this now, but it was basically like, if it's not sport, if you can't lose, you can lose on the scoreboard, but if you can't lose and you can't get relegated and you're in regardless and all that kind of, it's not sport, it's content.
Okay, so
like, that is a Gallagher such a good way to put it.
Is the Gallagher Premiership this year content?
Well, that's the point, Tom. That's the point. I think for this year, it feels right. In fact, they had to do it because, you know, you'd have had teams, someone getting relegated because they didn't have enough positive COVID tests from opposition teams. Like, that's why they could have gone down for that. And Worcester have won games that they haven't played, and they've only actually won one that they have played, you know, so they could have stayed up having won one game. But I firmly oppose ring fencing for that reason, and I'm up there to be
where it's possible, I will say, where it's possible, because in the Pro 14 it is ring fence, because who else are you going to bring in? You know, there's only two Scottish teams, only four Welsh teams, only four Irish teams.
Yeah, where do they go?
Yeah, exactly. So where possible, yeah, I do agree. Because, I mean, you know, it does get exciting towards the end of the Pro 14 because teams are either going for playoff competition spots or they're going for Champions Cup rugby rather than Challenge Cup rugby. So there is still a lot to play for, but there's nothing like seeing a team desperately playing for survival, is there?
No.
I love it.
No.
I love it. But anyway.
It's Jeopardy, boy. It's Jeopardy, isn't it?
Anyway, did you watch Line of Duty last night?
Oh!
You hated it?
It's so good. I can't stop saying, no, we're sucking on Diesel. I've said it about 40 times today. I've hashtagged it on Twitter a few times. Now we're sucking on Diesel.
By the letter of the law, fella. The letter of the law.
Oh,
do you know what?
Skid Gordon, how dare you?
You have to really concentrate. It's like watching, I don't know, Spiral with subtitles. Or Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Because so many names, you know, they're talking about people in the first, second, third, fourth series. and you've really got to concentrate. So, I mean, spoiler alert now, if you've haven't watched it yet, why on earth haven't you? It's Monday.
Yeah.
Or just...
Don't blame us.
Just put your fingers in your ears and go la, 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 la for a couple of minutes. So I just want to check a couple of things with you. So, you know, when I went to the police, went to the prison to speak to the second guy.
Yeah.
And so was this, I can't remember his name, Terry, was it? Was he insinuating that Hastings told them about Corbett being an undercover cop?
I think, to a point, I think maybe yes. But
and
I
that's
think
why Hastings has given 50 grand of that money to Corbett's wife through guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's what that. But okay. I think he probably told them there was a rat, at which point they started looking and found it to be Corbett.
Why did Hastings tell them there was a rat?
Exactly, Tom.
In the kitchen, what am I going to do?
Exactly, Tom.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Why would he do that?
Yeah. Okay, another one. So, I can't remember what I was going to say now. I've thrown myself.
Have a think.
Okay.
Take your time. There's no such thing as dead air.
Have you got any questions on it? Well, I think what my second point was going to be.
I get a bit forgetful and muddled about it, but I just let those bits that I can't remember and names I don't remember flow over me a bit and still really enjoy it. But
here's my other one.
Oh, here we go.
I remembered it. Definitely. Now, this has cropped up a couple of times. Spelt wrong. Again, spelt with an A.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
As soon as it popped up,
Hastings
did
that.
Watch it
in the fifth series, didn't he? When he was typing, pretending that he was a crime lord member, and he wrote definitely the wrong way. Now I don't know whether he was trying to interpret who was writing it, or maybe that's a giveaway clue. But it now just seems too obvious, and they're too clever just to pin it on Hastings, because everyone's talking about it's got to be Hastings. I mean, I thought one of the political policemen. You know the one I'm talking about, who was always in the meetings with Hastings and his boss. Thought he was a bad un. Thought he was a bad apple, but it now turns out that he's not. And he was fighting to keep AC-12 alive and funding for it. And that little scene.
So he says.
Yeah, so he says. We have to take him by his word at the moment.
Take him on his word.
It looked genuine.
Sure.
So my question to you is... Is H. Hastings?
No. One, because I hope he's not.
Osborne.
Two, because he chose not to bring in PC Pilkington when he could and arrest him and do him when he could, because he said there's a bigger fish out there, and he went against his colleagues to delay the arrest of Pilkington so that they could get to the fourth man / woman.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I thought it was very clever how they talked about essentially what would have been the Stephen Lawrence murder as well, 17 years ago.
Yep.
You know.
Straight in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. I watched a documentary on that.
Brilliant, Tilly.
Not too long ago, and it was.
I've watched that. Isn't
incredible.
It awful?
Yeah. Incredible. What went on?
Isn't it awful?
Yeah,
and
it is.
Apart from anything else,
but no one really likes to talk about it. But you know, they've come out, they've put it in the episode. You know, the elephant in the room. I thought it was brilliant writing.
But on that Stephen Lawrence documentary, from the case, one of my most vivid memories is the suspect arriving at court to, you know, baying crowds and being so aggressive. And I think from memory, one of them flobbing into the crowd, like,
yeah,
so aggressive. You're like, this whole thing is about like completely unnecessary violence that ruins lives and takes lives and ruins people's whole lives. But my gut reaction is, being completely honest, I would love to be violent to those people, but you can't, not that I'm not going to, but you can't think like that, because it's like, that is literally what got us here. what you've got to do is punish them in a way they hate and don't understand. That's what you've got to do.
Crying baby. I'll do it for me.
Heavy metal in the side of the room and then baby screams like SAS.
Week of salad for you. How are you getting on with Your Honour?
Yeah, I've just watched one actually. It's good. It's good. I like it.
Oh, to be David Flatman watching Your Honour on a Monday.
Oh, God, do you know what's happened today? Oh, I've just lucked out because my kids aren't back at school yet. They're not back till school time. I've had 3 weeks off, so they get an inset day, obviously.
Yeah.
For Easter, whatever. So they're not back in, but they're out. They're out like play dates. And my girlfriend is at work in London.
Oh, I've got a girlfriend.
I've got a girlfriend. Oh, back of the net. And I am on my own in my house. And the girls will get back in an hour or so. And I went to the gym, wasn't going to mention it. Went to the gym, had a blimmin' workout. Came home and thought, I have got an hour until I'm doing a podcast. I'm going to make a coffee and I'm going to sit on my massive ass on my sofa. And you end up flicking through your phone and doing a few emails and stuff. But it's nice time, Tommy.
How many episodes are you in?
Seven. Eight. So, I'm on eight now.
There's 10, isn't there? I've finished it a couple of days ago.
Good finish?
I liked it.
Okay.
I don't want to give too much away or anything away. I liked it.
Okay. Okay. Okay, boy. Hey, what have you been up to, fella?
I went down to Tenby for the weekend.
Oh, here we go. Big Jim, was it?
Visit Big Jim, yeah. See how he's doing. Oh. He's doing well. He's doing well. He's grown some sideburns now. Sideboards. Are they burns?
Like JPR
or boards?
Williams. Sideburns. Mm. Like JPR?
Not quite as bushy. Mm. Okay. But they suit him. So we went down to Tenby with the family, the fam. It was lovely, actually. Bit of time on the beach. I know you're a beach man.
Beachman.
Fish and chips. We got a lovely Sunday takeaway roast from On George's in the middle of Tenby. Delicious. Oh. Popped over to see my mate Luga. He's
down there, is he?
Yeah, he's got a pub, the New Inn in Amroth. Lovely spot, but can't open it properly yet. Still sort of takeaway food, takeaway beers. No one can sit outside in the beer garden, but there's a beach opposite. So I had a chat with him on his on the roof of his new gym that he's built.
What?
Yeah, it's big as well. So,
he's made it. Home gym, is that?
Yes, it is. His son, Alfie, is a very good gymnast. He's in the Welsh gymnastics squad for his age. I think he might be 13 now. He was 13, actually. It was his birthday. I give him a little tenner and a secret handshake. I went, Alf, give him a little, from the top, you know, coming down, give him a high five. Had the tenner in the palm, slipped it in. Well, that's for you, fella. It was really good, actually. Really smooth. He took out my hand and put it straight in his pocket.
Good boy.
Didn't tell his mum or dad. Boy. Probably going to spend it on sweets.
I remember I had this bloke who came to do some electrics once at the house, and he was a kind of a mate of Ollie Barkley or Ollie's dad or something. And I said, he walked in. I didn't know him that way. He said, I've just seen him. Just seen him. I said, sorry? Just seen him, haven't I? Went and popped round his place. Who? Ollie. Oh, right, cool. I didn't know who you were talking about because you didn't say his name. Yeah, he wasn't happy. Got him up early, but shot a 20 at him. Sorted him out. I don't understand. And I was like, mate, I don't understand what you're talking about. And yeah, he wasn't happy, but I shot 20 at him. And it basically was like he overpaid me by 20 quid. So I just knocked on his door at 7:45 in the morning and said, are you overpaid me? His 20 quid. And Ollie was like, cheers, mate. Did you have to wake me up? But anyway, cool. Thanks a lot. Yeah, shot 20 at him. And he used to, you know, when you say I've got a bone to pick with you.
Yeah.
He used to, even when he didn't, he never had a bone to pick with me because we weren't like mates really. He was just doing some electric stuff at us. And he used to scratch his man's area a little bit and go, got an airy bone to pick with you.
Sounds like David Brent.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd say, what? What do you want to talk about? No, all's good. All's good. How are you, fella? It's like, okay. You've got a gag. You've shoved it in, so to speak. Where it doesn't belong, it scratches balls, got every bone to pick with you.
Ryan Powell. Do you remember Ryan Powell, scrum half, went to Worcester for a bit?
Yeah.
He used to, if someone was coming into the room, like one of the coaches, he'd put his hands down his pants, right, and fiddle with his little meat and veg, and then as they come close, he'd pull it out and shake the hand.
Oh no!
Yeah, he'd be like, nice to see you this morning, Di. Shake his hand like that.
Oh no!
I remember to Clive Griffiths once, who was coming to take a defensive session, and he had his hands down his pants, and as Clive Griffiths walked in, he took his hands out and shook his hand.
Oh, no. That is gross.
Anyway, though, my trip to Tenby Flats, I popped in to see my uncle.
Name?
Uncle Ron Herlow. Okay.
Okay. Sounds like a movie.
Yeah. He's been my uncle forever.
Of course he has, since you were born, probably.
And he's been retired for a long time. But over the whole of my playing career, so from London Welsh all the way up to retiring, he's collected or he's had articles sent to him from paper cutouts, which have featured myself. And he handed me three very large scrapbooks. I'm talking like a metre by half metre. Scrapbooks, three of them, from the whole of my career, nearly every game.
Wow.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So there's a little bit on London Welsh, there's a fair bit on Saracens. I haven't read them properly, but I've sort of had a little skim through them, and I've seen your name crop up a couple of times, old Darren Flatman.
Sure.
And
Darren Flashman.
And they will take the best part, I reckon, of a week to read them all. Which was absolutely incredible. So
yeah, amazing.
Yeah, really nice as well. Really, you know, he's been doing it for 15 years. I actually sent you a photo, didn't I, of one of the programs?
I would say
the first game we've ever played against each other. But I remember playing against you for Middlesex when you were playing for Kent.
Do you?
Yes. Was it Kent or Surrey you played for?
Kent Battergy.
Yeah. And I remember seeing your name on there because there was all talk about these Dulwich boys, and after the game I just thought, overrated, personally. Like Alton Towers.
But I did not remember playing against Middlesex.
But I think we played at Roslyn
Maybe
Park.
Maybe I wasn't playing, maybe that's why you didn't notice.
I think we played at Roslyn Park because Andrew Sheridan was... who was the guy in The Simpsons? Who's
Homer?
No.
Barney.
No, who's the bully in The Simpsons? He's the kid.
That guy.
Yeah.
Used to laugh like that.
Oh, what's his name now?
Oh, I can't remember.
Okay. But Sherry was like him.
Yeah.
He was just like running over people for fun.
Yeah.
No one could stop him because he was that big. Like, he's probably as big as he is like now than he was. Then Nelson Muntz.
Nelson.
Yeah. He was like him.
Nelson.
I was like Ralph. Picking my nose.
You know, I was a little chubby kid.
Yeah.
Or was that Family Guy? No, it is Simpsons.
You'd be like, yeah, you'd be like Chief Wiggum, you'd be.
He'd be Chief Wiggum. You remember one episode, he just answered the phone rang and he went, no, put the phone down. I love Chief Wiggum.
I tell you, remind me of, in Your Honour, is the black guy who's running for mayor. Every time there's a dinner, he's telling a story.
And then he's just taken his mate, his godson home, the one who did the thing.
Yeah.
And he says, "Hey, you want to drive home in a real car?" And he gets in. He's got an absolutely banging whip with great tunes. I'm like, "That's me. That is what I'm like as a godfather. I turn up with an awesome whip, loads of presents, then disappear." He was in The Wire. He's the one who was.
Oh, was he?
Did you watch The Wire?
I can't remember it though, mate. I watched it years ago.
She used to say, "She Clarence." That was him.
Okay,
she.
So anyway, I sent you a photo of when Wales A played England A. In 2001, in Wrexham. Or was it 2000? It might be, actually.
It doesn't say on here.
Yeah, I think it was. But I thought it'd be good to go through the teams and try and work out what they're doing now. So if we go through position each. So if we start at 15, okay. Rhys Williams, Cardiff. He was Wales A15. He's now working as business development manager, amongst other things, at the WRU.
Yep.
England's 15.
There you go. Paul Sampson, good mate of mine, actually godfather to his little boy. Mm. So he's doing well, lovely kids, lovely little setup up in Windsor, and he's doing life coaching, among other things. And bright guy, doing good things.
Nick Warne, he was a solicitor. Can't tell you what else he's doing now. Wing.
There you go. Dave Rees, played for England, of course. Mm-hmm. Mara, they call him. I think he's got a gym in Bristol. Could be wrong. 13.
Okay. Jamie Robinson, played 13. Cardiff. He works for a company called Gavcal, a financial company.
Good bloke.
Mm.
More fun than his brother, I always found, after a couple of blooming beers.
He's more honest than his brother. Put it that way.
What, no, what? His brother, no fee, Nicky? Oh, I'll do this for us wee boys. No, I'm joking. I like to do him down on podcast because he doesn't, whenever I see him, he doesn't stop talking about the time that he and I had a nice weight session in Japan together, when we were staying in wherever it was during the World Cup. A nice session. And then later that night, I went back to record the podcast with you. And later that night, he listened to it and I was hammering him for being in terrible nick. He's like, you two-faced bastard. So, sorry, mate.
He's also known as V-neck Nicky as well, because he loves a V-neck cashmere jumper with a shirt.
Well, with a chest like that.
Yeah, and you know, some massive red lips and red teeth from all the wine.
The wine. Leon Lloyd. Now, Lloydie works for, he was in the city for a bit. He wrote a book, actually. Wasn't a big book, but it was a good book. And now Lloydie, I don't want to get it wrong, you see, because he does something really good. So you talk about your next one.
Okay.
And I'll get Lloydie up here.
Well, I played 12 that day, just front foot, giving the boys a platform.
Remember when you came inside that time? I bashed you.
Oh,
remember?
You threw me then. Yeah, well, I've got a video of this as well. So my dad gave me a bunch of videos, which I'm going to have to go through, find a VHS player first. But we've got this video as well, so I think maybe we should watch it. Maybe we should do some alternative commentary to that.
Yeah, it'd be good, actually. Entrepreneur. Leon Lloyd, by the way, he's now part of the... Yeah, I know, but I knew what he was doing, but I forgot the name, and I thought it was Catch the Play for some reason, Switch the Play Foundation. So really interesting about career transition type stuff. And he's just like, this is not what we're doing with this little going through the team, but Lloydie is just one of the best blokes. He is just like the best guy. Easily the best guy to come out of Leicester by a mile. He's doing really well.
I remember Lloydie came on a WASF Foundation golf trip to La Manga, and he was sharing with Rhys Williams, who was playing 15 that day. And yeah, he'd never been before. And Rhys Williams was like, you know, just stand by me, stick with me, you know, it's not that bad, you get through it. And give him a big speech about how he's going to manage, you know, the drinking, the golf and all of that. And then next minute we looked across and Rhys Williams was flat out asleep in the bar on a chair. Looked at my watch, it's like 10:30.
Oh God.
I know.
Jamie Noon played 12 for a Saturday. I think he's still in France, Noon.
He is.
Hell of a guy, hell of a player, I always thought, hard as nails. And I think he's an agent in France now.
I think you're right, mate.
Go on then, 11.
Craig Morgan, 11, Cardiff. Had an unbelievable start to his international career. Got a handful of caps, scored a couple of lovely tries. I think South Africa was one of his first caps. Actually, underrated player. Really skillful, really pacey, loved a chip and chase. When he left rugby, he was working at Greg's, I believe, the Baker's. I'm not sure in what capacity, but that's all I can tell you. I couldn't tell you what else he's up to now.
Okay. Jason Robinson, never did anything. Yours?
Craig Warlow, number 10, I'm on now.
Yep.
Bridge End. Always wore a scrum hat when he played. A little bit like Monty Burns. Very good player. Creative.
Yep.
Went and played the Dragons a little bit. Oh, I don't know. I'm just waffling now, mate. I couldn't tell you what he's up to.
Fine. Andy Goode. The only reason I'm not saying too much for like people like Jason Robinson and Andy Goode is because everyone knows what they're up to. So we don't need to dwell on those. Andy Goode, you know what he's doing now. Who was your nine?
He's got an average pod. My nine, Hugh Harris. Bridgend. Couldn't tell you.
Okay, Martin Wood. He looked like Eamon Holmes and a bit like Lovejoy. Broke his neck on a trampoline in about 2005, I think, playing at Bath. We lived together. He was showing off to some girls on a trampoline, gymnast. And he said, watch this. North Yorkshire under 15 gymnastics champion, love. Watch this. Broke his neck. And that sounds like a terrible story. It is. He got off and said, God, that hurt. It landed on his head. We all laughed, thought it's hilarious. Fast forward a week, I had x-rays. And they said, you've actually broken it. And he's like, oh, bloody hell. Went to hospital, had an op. He was absolutely fine. But they said, you've dislocated this and we're not quite sure how you don't feel worse. But they said you can't play again. So he then went to work in the city. And now he lives up north in Harrogate with his lovely wife, Eva, who we call Evo because it annoys her a bit, and his kids. And he's got a signage company.
Such a Bath culture back in that day, wasn't it? Showing off, chauvinistic.
He was showing off. But he still looks back and laughs about it. So there you go. Eight.
Number eight, Emir Lewis. I'm not actually sure what he's doing day to day. But he does do a lot of commentary, radio, and a bit of TV for S4C. He's a Welsh speaker.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Joe Worsley was coaching at Bordeaux, defence coaching now. I think he's at Castro, doing defence there.
Mm. Biggest head in the game.
Yeah, melonhead, massive head, cowhead, bus head, blockhead, brickhead. Yeah,
big. I always remember Neil Back just slotting him in one of the finals in, I think it might have been a Premiership final, in Twickenham. They're just running off the back of a line out. To a wide ball, Neil Back just comes around the side and flat out nails him.
Did he?
With the right hand, yeah. Incredible. Gavin Thomas, number seven. Dougie.
Great guy.
Yeah, he did have a sort of events company at one stage. He was putting on sort of festivals. Not seen him for a while. Jehovah Witness. But loved his company. And he loved hanging around in the back line. He was a back at heart.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. Great guy. Lewis Moody. We know all about Lewis Moody. Legend. I love your number six. Remember him well.
Yeah. Nathan Budgett. Looked a bit like me, just a bit taller, balder. Yeah. He was a medical rep. In great nick. Good line of option. That's all I know.
Okay. Okay, R6 was Steve White Cooper, the Quinn's back row. Poshest guy ever to play for England, but just an epic bloke. I think he was born in Cape Town, a South African lilt. He got a couple of caps for England on the 01 tour when the Lions was going on and we all got a couple of cheap caps over there. Great bloke, and he quit rugby quite early, I think, to go and set up, a recruitment agency in the city. Bright bloke, good bloke. I think his sister was married... I mean, this is inappropriate. I think she was, if you're a male chauvinist pig, you would probably describe her as incredibly attractive. And she was married to Gianluca Vialli, I believe. But he does recruitment in the city now. I love that guy. He was great.
Number five, Chris Stevens, Bird. He was an electrician, I believe. But that's all I've got. Great line
right,
option. Tall, lanky, wiry.
Yeah, our second rows, we don't need to say much about because we had Steve Borthwick and Ben Kay. Decent set. Who was your other second row?
Craig Quinnell works for a family company doing water filtration.
Mm. Oh, that's right.
Yep. Yeah.
He is enormous.
He's massive, mate. He's
absolutely... But big, muscly, strong, massive.
You want to see his golf swing. It's like he's chopping down
that's
a tree.
Hilarious.
The sound is incredible. He lives in the Vale Hotel. He's got... a flat on the grounds there, and he's got his own golf buggy, just drives around.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. It's a bit like Michael Jordan, but just sort of probably a tenth of the wealth level and estate level.
Yeah. Good on him. Our tight head prop was John Mallett. He's now director of rugby, I believe, director of sport or director of rugby down at Millfield School.
Okay.
Doing very well. Hell of a guy. Hard old boy. Hell of a guy. Very, very deep voice.
Do you know his father?
Lump. No, who?
Timmy.
No.
Anyway.
Very good. I was just waiting for that. I said lump, as in hammer. I said lump hammer. No, it doesn't work.
Timmy's better, mate.
Yeah, it is.
Ben Evans, tight head prop. I think he's over in Australia. I think he married a lady and he's living in Australia. I'm not sure what he's doing. He popped up about a year and a half ago. I saw him from a distance at one of the Cardiff Blues games. I should call his name correctly, The Ben Evans.
Ah, right.
Okay, because he'd sign his name and someone would go around on the shirts and balls and sign The above him every single time.
I remember going around doing an England signing session and the subs went, you know, last. They got the worst slots, you know, 9 at night. Mm. And we're going around and just signing mine and every one of Jason Leonard's, I just put a number 1 in a circle with a kiss next to it on all of his, thinking this is hilarious. We all thought it was brilliant. And I told my dad about it and he's like, mate, that's so disrespectful. He's a legend. Mm. Sort yourself. I was like, yeah, sorry I did that.
Kerry Sweeney used to sign his name and with a Y, he'd do like a Y and he'd do a couple of I's above the bottom of the Y, the curl, so it looked like a smiley face. It's pathetic. Why?
Your hooker?
Jonathan Humphreys.
Legend.
Yeah, we know where he is now.
Yeah, we know where he is now. We often get asked who's the best player you ever played with. I flip and flop between. It's three guys, really. I flip and flop. Amongst.
Jonah Lomu, Jonathan Humphreys.
Yeah, played with. I always say Tim Pina. Horan,
yep.
Nick Abendanon, or John Humphreys. I loved him. Richard Kirk, London Irish hooker. I've completely forgotten Kirky. Didn't get to know him well. He's a Kiwi, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get to know him well. That may have been the only time I ever played with him. But we had a good night out after that, Kirky and Shep. We called John Mallett's called Shep because of... Shep to Mallet, the place. So everyone's called Shep. So we had a good night out with Kirky and Shep in Chester, I think, after that game in Wrexham. And then and it spilled back to the hotel afterwards. But Matt Stevens, the Bath prop, also has a massive head. So he was called Son of Shep because he had a massive head. Hence Matt Stevens being called Sauce for his whole career. Yep. We all call him Sauce or Saucers because he was Son of Shep because he had a big head like Shep. Mm. Loosehead prop. I like your loosehead prop. He was very good.
Yes, and Thomas, Billy Bonfire, we used to call him.
Why?
Because whenever he was speaking in meetings, his face would just go so red. Or if you took the piss out of him, he'd just get a real red face. he is working, from what I gather, for Smart Solutions.
They are the sort of company names that really annoy me, because you go past in a van and it's like... DL Solutions, Smart Solutions. Solutions to what?
Yeah,
say what you do.
They provide workforce into...
Say that then. We provide workforce people solutions.
Into whatever. Things like big distribution centres, that sort of stuff. Okay.
Okay. And Arlu said it was David Flatman, broadcaster. Quick run through the benches. Gummersall, we don't know Gummersall. Ali Heifer now, big bossing at Saints. Tom May, Rob Hardwick... Chris Forty. Yeah.
You haven't said Tom May. He does walks and videos.
Tom May does walks. Tom May does a lot of stuff. Rob Hardwick. Don't quite know what Rob does these days, but nice fella. Chris Forty. I think he's down at Hartbury College, but I loved Foro. I played a charity game with him after I retired. I loved playing with Foro because my favourite thing about Chris Forty, right, he was Gloucester born and West Country born and bred. And we were playing against France A. And we had an all right team out, but I was a kid. I was like 19 or something, playing down in Toulouse against France. And they had an unbelievable team out. And it was like, oh, no. And it was my first game for the A's, I think. And Richard Hill was our coach. And he said, I want bags of aggression, yeah? I want bags of talk. And I want bags of enthusiasm, yeah? And walked out. And Chris Forty looked around the changing room and said, boys, anyone got a spare bag? Great bloke. Grant Seeley. Another big posho, but a great fella. And Andy Hazel, another Gloucester boy and a great mate of mine still. Andy Hazel, like this is the last bit we're doing on my side. Obviously, I'm big mate to Hazy and have been for 20 years, so that this is by. But I remember playing against Gloucester. We had a really good team at Bath at this point, and we were beating most teams. We were beating really, and we were on a good run. And we went to Gloucester, and they weren't great, and we were. And I remember going to the first, there's a kickoff. They caught it, and whatever, and I got to guard. Next breakdown.
I bet you did.
Next breakdown, yeah.
Next breakdown.
Guard, well too hard it was. I went into the next breakdown, and a couple of us went in pretty hard to like counter ruck. And I remember Hazy hit that ruck harder than I ever got hit at a breakdown. And it's this weird thing where that psychs you up and it fires you up. And you're like, right, we're going to do this lot because they're up for it. But looking back, he hit that ruck 10 seconds after kickoff, and I knew, really, we all knew, there was no way we were going to win. He was wild, mate. absolutely wild, and he was, he's a proper Gloucester legend. Anyway, your bench.
We like telling everyone not to look at his eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Andrew Lewis, he's working for Bruin Dolphin now. Chris Anthony, not sure. Probably just gone on long walks up mountains. James Griffiths, couldn't tell you. Alex Popham, you know what?
We know Pops, yeah.
Pops. Paul John, I believe he's coaching Hong Kong Sevens.
Yeah.
Lee Jarvis.
He's a good player, mind.
Who, Paul John?
No, Paul John was good, but Lee Jarvis, remember playing against Wales A, I think, and I think he kicked 430 points or something.
Is this a game we're talking about, do you think?
No.
Okay, it was another Wales A game, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't play many tests.
I couldn't tell you what he's doing. Is he working on the railroads? Anyway, and Jason Jones-Hughes. Remember he's bought over from Australia?
Oh, yeah.
He did have a property development business in Cardiff, but couldn't tell you.
Maybe if you post this picture on Twitter, people will actually listen to the pod or Instagram, whatever, can have a look and see what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we've just lost everyone for an hour. But yeah, those are the days, boy.
Yep. Yeah,
those are the days, fella.
Your mum gave me a big hug after, didn't she?
Oh, she did.
I went in tight as well, so it was like breast on breast.
My dad had to get you off, didn't he? Remember?
Yeah.
That's enough.
With crowbar. Right. Rugby.
Right, it's a 4-hour pod already. Should we talk about rugby?
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's crack on a bit. No other rugby on at the weekend, really. I can tell you about Southern Hemisphere because... Well, it's not shown on Sky or BT, so it's difficult. No Pro 14, so purely Gallagher. Which game were you at?
Well, I was at two games at the weekend. I was at
Exeter
for Channel 5 Live. I was at Exeter against Wasps on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And in short, Wasps looked quite good in the first half. Chiefs looked a bit rusty and they were against a really strong wind and a brutal sun, which made taking high balls difficult. And Stuart Hogg probably had the worst 40 minutes of his rugby career.
Oh, I saw charge
not,
down.
Not everything he did was bad, but he had a couple of shockers. The charge down, he had a couple of shockers in that half, and he threw a pass or an offload slash pass in his own third, which was never on in a million years. And it like went, it was just like, oh no. But you can laugh about it because you know he's going to dominate the second half. And he was unreal in that second half. He was so good.
Yeah.
So that was it. But Wasp just went away. Chiefs had the wind in the second half and the sun. I know that. They just disappeared, mate. And Lee Blackett said they rolled over. They absolutely fell apart. It was, honest, like the, what's the word to describe it? It was so disappointing because it was like, oh, no, he didn't need to do that, lads. They were good. They were winning at half-time and they were good for it.
Yeah.
Umanga looked great and comfortable. And then the second half, they just... they gifted... Chiefs were a lot better than them in the second half, but they gifted Chiefs loads of points and defensively they just fell apart.
Yeah, you could see that. You know, they started to get desperate, really, trying to throw passes over top. They were picked off. I just love the work rate from Hogg for their kick chase. Spirals it and he just flies past a dog who's got no real idea about who's around him. He doesn't really look over. He's ambling back for a player like that of that speed, whether he's tired or not, or whether he's just been on a long run and fatigue is setting or lactic is setting. But Hogg just looked so fast, and his hair was absolutely beautiful after.
Yeah.
I thought Ollie Devoto had a really good game as well.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a cracker of a game, and it was for the neutral, but because there's plenty of tries, but Exeter just completely dominated.
Yeah. And on Friday night, Saints beat Irish 44-26. That was proper. Remember Super 10, Super 12s?
Yep.
That was Super 12s rugby. There was no defence. There were loads of tries. It was great to watch. Probably unsustainable in terms of the way that both teams played. But Alex Mitchell, the Saints 9, was just class. Ollie Hassel-Collins, the Irish winger, was just really hard to handle. Dan Bigger looked really good, fella.
Yeah.
Really good.
To see the break he made coming back in on a switch.
Really good.
I'm not sure he put under the post, but he looked really good. He's so comfortable. Like, you watch him when he's just executing a 3v2 or a 2v1, just knows exactly what to do. His stock is rising, and there's no doubt he's become a better player since going to Northampton. Now, that was a great game, as was Exeter Wasps. Now, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because we want to see rugby like this because it's exciting, because there's tries, because it's edgy seat stuff, and we love all that. But this is the product I want to see, and I think part of it plays a fact that we have summer rugby. But you're not going to get games like this without, you know, a litter of mistakes, are you? You know, there has to be a lot of mistakes. There has to be turnover ball. And I'm all for that. I don't mind if teams want to go out and try things, because if it comes off, it comes off. If it doesn't, then you've got potential of other teams scoring tries. So I know it's not ideal for a lot of people, and a lot of people will be looking at the game thinking, wow, it's just so many mistakes, you know, especially if you're on Northampton or Wasps. But that's what I want to see, mate. You know, I'd much rather see a game like that than a close 4-12-9 game. You know, you need mistakes to happen in games. You need people to get tired in games so that opportunities arise.
Yep.
It's probably the point I'm trying to make.
Yep.
How well did Sale do to last with 14 men? Or
very, very good.
I mean, yeah.
Minerals, Alex Anderson said, that was about right.
Yeah.
The red card was absolutely a red, obviously, but But Gloucester are just kicking themselves, mate. You just cannot turn over ball. You can't give the ball. You cannot give the ball to a team with 14 men because they are desperate to have the ball, so they know where it's going, so they don't overstretch themselves, so they can do what they want with it. Sale had too much ball, but loads of grit. Fafter Clerk was sharp. AJ McGinty came on and did a really good job. Like, that is actually a really good win. Really good.
Yeah. It was a good win.
And Quinn's put 50 on Worcester, but Quinn's looked great, but, mate, and Worcester scored a couple of late tries as well, mind.
Yeah, they did. They scored one right at the end, didn't they, with a shocking kickoff. I saw one of the tries. I can't remember who it was. It was one of the wingers, because it was just from a kick chase, and there is zero kick chase from Worcester. One pass from whoever's playing. It was on the right wing. I'm trying to think now. It would have been Green. Yeah. Throws inside, and that basically takes out about 12 Worcester defenders. That's not coaching. I mean, you know, you've got a level of intellect to play the game at that level. You know, you have to be intelligent to play. Yeah. You've got to realise your own spacing. Like, one pass to take out 12 people, that should never, ever happen. And then it's just hands. Marchant, I think, might put, I don't know who it was. It wasn't Murley. It could have been, I'm not sure, Northmore, maybe, down the left-hand
Northmore,
side.
Northmore, yeah.
But it was just way too easy. It was just like four passes, done.
Yeah.
But
shouldn't happen like that.
Still great. I still love watching games with plenty of tries.
Yeah, it is fun. And, you know, we don't own the clubs, do we?
No, so we don't. But it's, you know, the Super Rugby in the Southern Hemisphere have a really good product of good rugby. And I think we saw quite a few good examples of sort of the level of how the Gallagher Premiership can compare to Super Rugby. It was quite level playing field. It's quite similar, I thought, in the style of play. So all positive, mate. Bristol ended up easily beating Newcastle by the end. Max Bailey's just chip over the top. It's nearly a great chip, but it was one of those lucky bounces, and he's just under the posts.
years.
They lose Callum Sheedy quite early, but Johan Lloyd comes on. He's really impressive.
He's great, isn't he?
He is great. You know, if you want a sort of yin and yang, which you do as a number 10, you know, you need two players that complement each other. He gets a lot of game time as well. So, you know, when he's coming on, you're still confident. You're thinking, oh, yeah, Johan's on. We can still do a decent job. Hope Sheedy's all right. Probably should have been a red card, I thought, with that late hit. But
that's a red all day, that fella.
Yep. Yep.
All day long. I don't understand how it's not red, but there we are. It's a cheap shot.
Your mighty team, Bath.
Oh, what a game. I was there. It was so weird. Like Leicester weren't completely dominant, but they were largely dominant. Their set piece got almost every decision. I think it might have got every decision. So quite often, Bath got themselves into good spots. Leicester packed down a scrum, penalty or free kick, pressure off. Kelly at 10 played really well for Leicester. George Ford obviously played well. Ben Youngs looked sharp. Like, they just looked... Jasper Visa's hilarious. I came away thinking, I don't quite know. I saw a couple of the Bath players in the car park. I said, I'm not quite sure how you won that. And they were like, yeah, us either. Like, but we did, so happy days. And
kick at the end.
Amazing kick. Mm. Amazing kick from Ben Spencer. Wow. Mm-hmm. What massive composure.
Yeah.
Guts on that. Oh, brilliant, man. And it was a really, really good game. And, you know, Bath never stopped. And it was to the point where I sat in the crowd. Stuart Hooper Zach Mercer did an interview with us afterwards. And he goes, yeah, not many people would have thought we would have pulled that back. And, you know, from there, and wanted to come back from there. And I was sitting in the stand with Dirt as I said, they won't win from here. No way. Not because of Bath, because of Leicester. Leicester playing really well. Like, there's no way they win from here. Bang wrong, fella. Bang wrong.
I was impressed with Will Muir on the wing.
Horse, they call him.
Mm. Okay, good.
Yeah, metal shoes.
And I loved my moment of the week. There's been plenty, but to pick one that I really loved was the Sale game, Sale Gloucester, when James just comes around the blind and puts it inside to Reed, who goes over. I just thought, yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, so nice.
Brilliant bit of...
So nice.
Brilliant bit of sort of analysis.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to be able to pull that move off is very difficult. Everything has to be perfect. You have to identify it in the right situation. They did that, and perfect execution. Loved it.
Very nice.
Loved
great
it.
Fella.
Yeah.
All right, boy.
Okay.
Castro beat Toulouse 26-24 in a top 14. Didn't see that coming, but there we are. That we're probably done now, aren't we, boy?
Yeah, that'll do. What are you up to for the rest of the week, mate?
Oh, kids back to school, isn't it, fella? So finally get some work done. Write a book, do some charity work, and probably grill and go to the gym.
Oh, nice.
What about you?
I've got a bit of work on this week. Probably going to play golf tomorrow, maybe Thursday. We've got four balls are allowed next week. So.
Oh, yeah.
And outside restaurants and pubs, if they've got an outside, will open as well. So El Vino might flow.
I've got a table booked at a local pub Thursday, 6 o'clock.
Nice.
Lemon, lovely. It's going to be Baltic. It's like it's really sunny outside. Beautiful when it is so cold.
Who cares, mate? Who cares?
That's what thermals are for, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Get those Canterbury thermals on.
Too right.
Some gloves, some headgear, head torch. You'll be fine.
Look, keep going, all right, boy?
Yeah, nice one.
Well done, guys. Right. Keep going.
Bye, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.